This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on. You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. I should know it's on. It's on.
Right.
Damn it, I lost Wi-Fi.
Okay.
You lost Wi-Fi? I didn't have Wi-Fi for like 2 days.
Why?
You want to really know?
No, lie to me.
Lie to you.
Give me a great lie.
A great lie is because I didn't pay my bill. That's the lie.
The devil made me do it.
Let me tell you what happened to us. So.
Who's us?
The family, Smith
okay.
family.
All right.
So, you know, first world problems. So we have a well, and we try to utilize the well to, one, I know this isn't a surprise, but I don't like folk telling me I can't water my grass.
Oh.
So we have a well. And in the well, that my irrigation is on the well. Now, our well doesn't get PSI's pressure. It doesn't get enough pressure to be able to run the whole thing because of we're not getting as much gallon per minute. So we're only getting like 13 or 15 gallons per minute. The threshold is like 18 or 20 if you're fudging it. And so it will kind of kill the reserves. And so it just makes it to where it will utilize the well. But we, you know, I use it to like do other stuff around the house and stuff. I just like to have, my wife wants an off-grid house, but I, real lie, quick lie, and just a lie overall. I can't afford it. So that's my go-to. That's my go-to.
Yeah.
I can't afford it. So,
okay.
And plus, I'm not farming.
There you go. That's the real answer.
I'm not farming. Right? So, especially, I don't know any vets that will help me deliver a baby for a cow or a calf. Just all of that stuff. I don't want to pay for
just
all
go,
that.
Just go be Little House on the Prairie.
Were there any black people in Little House on the Prairie?
No. There were not.
That was a trick question and answers. No, there wasn't. Okay. And so got my landscaper to change the nozzles on my sprinklers for them to be smaller so we can accommodate the well. So, on the internet, and I'm like, dang, internet went out. Ding dong. Hey, did the internet go out? Yes.
Was it your neighbor?
The landscaper.
Okay.
He hit the line, because it's buried here in North Carolina. You bury utilities. Hit the line, digging up the sprinkler head. So, lost the internet. No big deal. Mistakes happen. I don't have a problem with it. So we call our internet provider. Now I have two lines. I have a business line for NFL Network, and I have a personal line. My man did it right. If you're going to do it right.
Okay.
He cut everything. Everything. I mean.
No line left behind.
Alarms going off. No line left behind. He got them all.
Yeah.
No big deal. He's apologetic. Mistakes happen. Cool. So we get our internet provider to come in, bang, they lay the line. So now the kids are hot because we got the PlayStation 5, and that was the only one I could muster up and muscle, and that one is totally downloadable.
Mm-hmm.
No hard copies.
Yeah, no hard drive. It doesn't have a hard drive on it.
Nope.
Yeah.
So you could play online, but we ain't got no online access.
When you don't have internet, it don't work.
Oh, man, kids is looking deucey, damn near wanted to slap me, right? So we go pull, hey, let's just go hang out. So on our way, we, you know, kind of going through the neighborhood. We on a golf cart, just getting outside, you know, doing old school stuff.
Old school with a golf cart?
Damn,
you flex. You flex. Ain't nothing old school about a golf, riding around the neighborhood in a golf cart.
Sorry.
Good
Continue.
You threw me off. I'm straight in story mode. Like
you was in story mode, but you was in Hulk Hogan mode too.
No, I wasn't.
It was slight. It was slight.
Riding bikes. We were riding bikes. Old school. We were riding bikes, right? Right. As we're riding a bike / riding a golf cart, landscapers go past us.
Okay.
They're going to mow the grass. Now, they run the line. They're going to bury the line in 7-10 days. So we hanging out. Then we go to the pool. We playing. And then we come back in the house. Dang, the internet was working. Mm-hmm. Dang it. Internet's not working. Now, when they lay the lines, they also put red flags.
Okay.
Now, this may come across a certain way, but I'll just say it. They laid flags that were rojo. That's Spanish for red.
Bilingual.
Mm-hmm. So several hours come by. Guess what I discover? They, in the lawnmower, riding mower, cut the new line. Mm. He drove over the line.
Scoundrel.
And then tried to jerry-rig it with black electrical tape.
Oh.
As if we would not see
it. And it had to be black.
Too. Yes.
That's the thing.
So then we had to call the same people we called to get the line. They have laid two lines now. And he cut the other line, the business line that they laid. So now this week, I do not want them to mow the grass because it has not been buried.
No, we don't need those shenanigans anymore.
Bro, are you talking about? I wasn't, the first time accidents happened. The second time, if I was doing this podcast at the time that I discovered that they cut this line, you know how many associations would disassociate me from what I was saying? I was so mad. I was.
That's a low down dirty shame.
Bro.
Call Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Let me tell you something. It was BS, dog.
I had mad about it.
2 days of no Wi-Fi.
Mm. It ain't even the no Wi-Fi.
It's the fact that you drove over this black line with red, and red, even in Europe, means stop.
Mm. Mm. Educate.
Red flags on top of a black line that's going throughout. It goes from my front yard to my backyard.
He thought
with this sharp blade underneath that driving over it, he would be okay.
Yeah. Tow it up.
Yes. Mm. You are so
you mad. I'm laughing at you. At your anger.
Bro, when I say hot.
You are.
The first guy, he was straight. The second guy, let them be mowing my grass this week.
Uh-oh.
And I'm at the house.
It's gonna be a showdown.
He don't do it. As I am progressing and I'm growing up, but every so often, I ain't.
I'm just warming up my elbow.
I ain't mollywop somebody this year yet. Boy, I can't believe. Like me and Andrew are looking at her, she goes, babe.
Where is big man?
Well, I'm telling you.
You mad.
Because you know why I'm mad? Laziness, dog.
Mm. So I guess it's safe to say that we're not going to be endorsing
Cut my Wi-Fi again.
Are we not going to be endorsing this? Because I had to read for this landscaping company.
Let me tell you something.
Are you telling me I shouldn't read it right now?
If you don't think I'm looking for a new landscaper, because these dudes. And my landscaper is great, but this?
Yeah.
Come on, dog. This is the topic. This is just lack of. Because why I look at that, why it gets me so charged up, is if you're lazy to do that, what other areas are you skimping on? And so now I'm in before they get there and before they and after they leave, I am checking to make sure, did you get my flower beds? Mm-hmm. Did you get this? Did you get that? Because if you don't, I'm done with them.
Stand your ground, brother. Stand your ground. Stand your ground.
You know what? I hope your Wi-Fi get cut. What we got?
All right, coming up on the Cut to It podcast, we've got Jakeem Grant, a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins. He's a native of Dallas, Texas, and was just named second team All-Pro in 2020 as a punt returner. Jakeem Grant on the Cut to It podcast.
We will announce right now your nickname, which I will not call you by, which is Black, but...
Black.
How did you get...
I got a homeboy name.
Yeah, how did you get the nickname Black?
I'm dark as hell, man. Like that's what people don't understand. I'm okay with being dark. Like, hey, man, look, dark, man. Listen, that's what they call me. I'm talking about from high school to college to everything, from Pee Wee. I'm talking about the coaches call me Black. Everybody call me Black.
Even white coaches call you Black?
Yeah, even white coaches call me Black. Still to this day.
Really.
For real.
Well, he is dark because I'm telling you, if he closes his eyes,
see,
and
here we go. Hey, here we go.
Woo, but hey, that brother got a clean set of veneers, though. Brush his teeth and floss, I see.
That's a fact. Like, got to. Hey, the on point.
You got to. When you're that dark and ugly, you got to have other attributes.
Well, hey, I'll take the dark. I'm
teasing, man.
That's out the window. Hey,
As the leader of the Undershort people, man, it's a pleasure to welcome you into the group of playmakers.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
6 feet and below.
Right. Welcome to the squad. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
What? Well, he like five. How tall are you, Jim?
No. What? You said welcome to the squad as if you in the squad.
We all under 6 feet, right?
Yeah, but you got to actually had did something.
Oh, okay. My bad. I'll leave. My bad. I didn't know I didn't do anything. I thought we were just talking about height requirements. Dang.
No. He was a corner.
I forgot you was an elitist. Dang.
Yeah, I'm
shunned out.
You just were. He was a corner. We're not letting corners into here.
Now I see where you.
Yeah. No, I don't get that.
I see myself out.
Yeah. You wasn't invited. He was trying. He told. Yeah. Where is that? No.
Nah.
Gotcha. Okay.
He was a corner. Okay.
I got you.
See, look.
Yeah, he got quiet all of a sudden. Yeah, he's now. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
All right, let's go. Okay, here we go. So what's your favorite lazy activity?
Netflix. Sitting there watching TV.
You can't beat that.
That's it.
So are you a Netflix binge on movies or shows?
Shows. Most definitely shows. Ooh. I got to have a series.
Which one you on right now?
Blackish?
Blackish.
Look at that. See? Boy.
I'm sorry.
Timing of that one? I got to give you some dap on that. The timing?
Watch out.
He ain't
in the club.
Get him.
See how quick he turned cold on it? Get him. He's not the squad. He's dapping the boy.
Well, y'all some flip-floppers.
Hey. Wife and kids are back home in Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I have nothing to do, man. I'm talking about when you say my wife and kids, I just sent them back to Texas. My wife wanted to move back to be around family and stuff. So, you know how the NFL goes. You can be on one team, you can be on the next team. Mm-hmm. So we was thinking about that. So that's home base. And so, man, when I tell you loneliness strikes when you ain't got your kids and your wife there,
yeah,
I tell you that. That's why I'm all into Netflix. Yeah. Netflix, hardcore, all day.
Yeah. Cool. All right, I know I'm going to get you on this one, definitely. Favorite Christmas song or carol?
Man, I ain't.
If you don't have one, that's fine.
Go with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Sing it.
Had a very shiny nose, if you ever saw him.
Mm-hmm.
He glows, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Appreciate that backstage.
I got you.
Yeah.
Nah, I got you. I mean,
yeah. See, that's what happens when you just throw something out there and then they call you on it. You trying to wing it.
I had the first couple lines.
Yeah.
Does Temptation Solid Night count? Does Temptation Solid Night count?
Ooh.
That's my favorite. Like, that's when you know it's Christmas time. Yeah. When that Temptation Silent Night comes on, it's Christmas time.
See, I grew up. We didn't coordinate this. Yeah, when I was a kindergarten, our Christmas program? We had to sing Silent Night. So I'm a big silent. I like Silent Night.
I just like the Temptations version. That's that legit one. Yeah. With that baritone voice. Yeah, that's the one of money right there.
Yeah, so. All right. Cool. How do you display love to friends and family?
Quality time, man. Spending time with them and just showing them that, you know, I'm here for you and same thing, vice versa. Mm. I think time is the biggest thing, especially being an athlete. It's just showing you that, like, I still care about you. I'm still here for you. Like, without having, you know, as you know, Steve, buying somebody something. Nah, I'm here. Just let's spend time. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's do that.
Yeah. I like that. All right. Last one. You ready?
I'm ready.
I know you're a returner, but you also are an excellent receiver. What is your favorite route to run? And a go route is not a route.
Choice route. It's a choice route, over the ball, sit right there. You can break in and out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get matched up on, you say, the nickel star.
Yeah.
Easy work. Especially I love it when man coverage, because I got three-way. I got two-way go. Mm. I can beat you with speed, run across, or I can hit you and make you feel like I'm going all the way across and return back out.
Yeah. All right. So where are you from in a place you call your hometown?
Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
It was tough. It was rough. Single parent home, mom working two jobs, trying to provide for me and my two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that left us up to doing everything. Mom was never home. She had to work and to make ends meet. And me and my brothers was running wild.
Yeah.
And we didn't make it easy on them. Yeah, cause man, I say with, you know, gang activity, from everything.
Mischief, so, time on your hands.
A lot of time on your hands, man. And it was just like, you know, oldest brother started off with it and my mama always told us, you your brother's keeper. So we was like, hey, you in it, we in it. So this is how it was gonna go. That's how the gang activity got into it, and then everybody was just like, hey, Black, you're the only one that can make it out of us. Hmm. So that kind of just turned me on a different path. And then also with my oldest brother getting shot in the neck. So that was a wrap for me.
Your older brother got shot in the neck?
Yep. He's still here to this day, not paralyzed. Thank God for that. And that was it. That was a wrap for me.
Hmm. What did football represent to you in your mind?
Football was, with everything going on in my life, mom paying two jobs and stuff like that, doing this and that. It was my getaway. It's my safe haven.
I don't think I've ever asked anyone this. And it when I was doing this rundown, it made me think of that because I was thinking about myself. I don't know. I think I don't even know the African community. I'll ask you. I don't even know the answer myself. Why do we think sports is the only way we can get out of out of poverty?
Like, because
what?
And to be honest, like,
I want you to be honest. Don't lie.
Yeah, I'm saying, to be honest, for me, it was just it takes away that time.
What time?
And what the time that you have to get into anything.
Hmm.
And so, as you know, as an athlete, when you got time, but whenever you're an athlete, everything you have is boom. You have this at this point in time, you got this. Yep. It's everything is structured. So it was just basically like, and ain't no way I can go and do this when I gotta work out, I gotta stay ahead of the game, I gotta eat right, I gotta do this, I gotta study on, I got school and stuff, I gotta do all this. Mm-hmm. So there's no time for me to get in trouble.
We have to take a break, and more than anything, we gotta pay some bills.
Mm-hmm. Need that check.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. Cuttoitpodcast.com.
I didn't want to play football. My mom put me in football. I ain't gonna lie, I was a skater, like hardbone skater, like not the ramps and doing all that, like inline speed skates. Like you know, for the Olympics where it was basically like
on ice skating?
Mom was It wasn't ice skating, but it was
the roller, you know, the blades.
Yeah, you had roller blades?
Yeah, the blades. Yeah.
You had knee pads and elbow pads?
Nah, I didn't have the elbow pads. Just the head, just the helmet.
The helmet?
Okay. Yeah, and I'm
you
talking
had short
about
shorts?
Basically, roller, the ones. Yeah.
Roller derby, Jackeen.
Roller derby.
I'm talking. Yeah. Nah, not the roller derby. It was just strictly speed.
Was there like an inline league or something like that?
Yeah, I used to skate for the Texas Flyers.
Mm. Ooh, see? I'm guessing you wasn't, like, y'all didn't have inline rollerblading in the hood.
No, we didn't. We went to this skating rink called Broadway Skating Rink, where my mom used to drop us off. This is when we're young now. This is way before gang activity and all that extra stuff. This is, mom
like
used to
six
just
or seven?
Say, hey, y'all, yeah.
Wow.
Y'all go up to the skating ring. We used to go up there all the time. They start letting us in for free. Mm. And we'd be up there from 2 to 11 p.m.
So you
and me.
You used to skate backwards and all that, huh?
I do it all. I still skate.
Yeah.
But, and I'm talking about skating, like, nonstop. My brothers and them, they'll take a break. I'm still skating because I want to be the fastest on skating, is doing everything. And so, Dad, the one that used to work there, his name was Dad. He worked behind the skate counter, and he was just like, how would you like to be on the Texas Flyers? And I was just like, man, I love it. Like, I just told him, like, I don't think I can afford the inline skates. I can't afford it. And he was, and he said, don't worry about it. And so I signed up right then and there, and next thing you know, killing them. And then this is how I got introduced to football. We played this game called Sharks in the Meadows. There's four guys on skates and a whole bunch of kids in the middle of the skating ring, and everybody got tagged out. I'm the last person, me versus four guys on skates. And little do I know, my mom walked in and she watching it. And I made all four of them fall, and they called the game. And then next thing you know, that next day, my mom signed me up for football, and I'm like, Mom, what are we doing? I'm trying to, I want to go skate. And she was like, just trust me. You'll thank me later. Mm. And the rest was history.
It's a cool story. That is cool. What's funny is my mom, when she was trying to get her degree, and we were in, I think I was in middle school, my mom used to drop me off on Saturdays at the ice skating rink in Culver City. Mm. She used to give me, back then that was a lot of money, she'd give me $10.
Yeah.
And drop me off and I would ice skate all day. And that's what we did. And then when I go back home now, especially working for NFL Network, which is right there on Culver City, I drive past the ice skating rink every time. I just look at it. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I asked, not to make fun, but just especially with having kids now, you know, everything is so one sport centric. Everything is about one sport. But realizing you can see the athleticism in people in other sports. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you being able to skate, as funny as, you know, even when I go to events or do something with my kids, somebody's birthday party, and the kids are always amazed. Like, I get on ice skates, rollerblading, you know, roller skates, skiing, play tennis, golf, like all those different sports that I'm not great in them, but I can hold a conversation, or I can, you know, we can have a little bit of fun. So that's pretty cool, man. I love that. But let's get back to that conversation on the football. Now, your mom takes you, she takes you off the Flyers because she sees some things in you. Your mom is a scout. Shout out to Mom Duke. She, you know, she yeah. She already
first,
she
first
saw.
Scout.
Yeah, she saw what some of these bums didn't see, yep. Right? And you know, the reason I asked that is, you know, what does football represent in your mind growing up? Because I know as I go back, football represented everything for me. Football represented how I got out of the hood. Football represented how I would be able to go to college. It just represented, football was everything my folks couldn't do for me. That's what football was for me. So if I, you know, football cliques were baseball cliques, and then I actually had to practice like three or four practices in my baseball/football cliques in the gym because mom didn't have no money until, you know, 2 weeks later. And so they had to let me practice playing basketball in the rubber cliques. And I was scuffing up that gym and people were pissed at me, but that's all we can afford. You know, we had to do it. So, you know, that's why I was asking what it means to you and why, you know, and it sounds like, you know, I mean, I think you're young. You're probably the answer will change.
Football is like means everything to me because not only just like you, it helped me make it out of the hood. Also, it created this thing where as a team, it's not all about you. And so the thing was for me.
Oh, you lost me. You lost me on that one. I'm joking. I'm no,
when it's not all about you, it's just like I took that mindset of like, hey, Jakeem, they looked at me as the chosen one. So I was like, I gotta get mom out the hood. I gotta help my mamas like with my brothers. I gotta do this. I have to do that. Like I have to take care of my family. So it was more of like putting everything on my shoulders. And I was just like, I watch my mom go and work two jobs. You think do I rather do that or would I rather just go out here for these couple hours and bust my ass on my own and, you know, get to where I need to get to so I can make sure mama is straight. My brothers are good. Like,
did that pressure applying on yourself, how did that pressure, how'd you deal with that?
It was, I'm not gonna lie, sometimes it was overwhelming because it was times where like my brother come to me and be like, it's you or are we screwed? And it was just like, I can't fail. You know what I mean? It was like, I can't fail.
And when, and I was what, like, at what time, what age, what time frame is this when they're talking to you? You know, it's you make it or we don't.
Basically sophomore.
High school.
Yeah. Cause that's when it really started getting real, where it's like, Jakeem, you got scouts looking at you now. You got this, you got that. Gotta watch how you carry your stuff. You have to do this. And I'm like, man, I'm still a kid. I want to have fun too, just like everybody else. But it forced me to grow up early, and I had to be able to, you know, go out here and carry myself a certain way and show them that like I got y'all. Don't worry about nothing. That like I'm gonna put all these chips into, you know, plan A. Because there's no plan B. I'm going to put all these chips into plan A to make this succeed.
Was that the my brother's keeper mentality that was already instilled in you that you carried out? I mean, your mom's not your brother, but it wasn't that mentality that was able to keep you in that mindset?
It was my brother's keeper, and also watching my mom go to work and not get off until like midnight, and I can hear her coming in. I can hear her coming in the door. And things like that. And I can hear her sometimes crying because she's like, I don't have enough to make ends meet this month. Like all these things that she doesn't know that I know. And one thing that you guys, my mom, I never asked for nothing because I knew that she was struggling to, you know, to make ends meet and also give us everything. And so when I see her, you know, busting her ass, trying to provide for me and my brothers and, you know, and also that brother's keeper mentality. Like, I'm like, man, I can do this. Like, she instilled that in me. I see her do it. Like, I watch her go and work two jobs to make ends meet. This going out here for a couple hours, putting my body through everything, that's nothing. Like, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. And it's been times where, you know, I just even sit at the 50-yard line and just think like I can't fail. I can't do this. Like, my mom needs me. My brother needs me. Like, my family needs me. So I got to go out here and I got to get it.
Now, on the flip side, does that pressure ever get to you? Like, is there ever like an overwhelming feeling? How do you deal with that?
That's the tough one, because it's like, who do I run and talk to? Who do I tell? And it's overwhelming because you have, like, when you start creeping up and, you know, being recruited, I'm getting that on my top of my shoulders. Like, you know, coaches telling me, hey, you're too small. You can't do this. Like we could take Texas for an example. Like, I went to one of the Texas camps and they told me, hey, he's too small to play for us. And all of that thing. So, like, I'm thinking in my head, like, man, am I even going to be able to make it? Like, am I going to let my family down? Like, what do I do? I don't know who to even go talk to, you know? So, and I looked for that. And I got real close to one of my high school coaches, which his name is Larry Sherman. And like I said, my white high school coach called me black still to this day. He still called me black to this day. And I looked at him like, a father figure, because he was there for me, like, throughout, like, everything. And it was somebody that I can go and talk to. And I'm like, hey, coach, I don't know if I can carry this load anymore. Like, you got coaches, D1 colleges telling me I'm too short to play for them, even though they love me, but I'm just too short to play for them. Wow. And I have to help. I have to get my mom and my brothers out of the hood. Like, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can keep this up. Like, maybe what have I hit my peak? Like, things like that. And he just told me, you know, don't worry about what they say. Keep your head down and continue to grind. It's got you this far, and it'll continue to take you as far as you want it to go.
Now, you hit on your recruiting journey, and I want to touch on that a little bit. So you went to, was it John Horn High School?
Yes, sir.
So you went to John Horn High School, and what was your recruiting journey like? You've hit on some of the people who were looking at you that you were kind of teeter-tottering amongst, you know, D1 and some other schools, but what was that recruiting journey like for you, and when did you realize that you wanted to eventually attend Texas Tech?
The funny part is I was I heard that Texas Tech was they had already had a guy like my size, and I was already, you know, looking to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I was like, you know, they don't have a slot receiver. I'm going to be that slot receiver. And Texas Tech was just like, oh, we got a slot, but we also want Jakeem as well. And like, I was just like, man, no, I'm good. Like, and things like that. And this is after, like, I'm just giving you a rundown.
Yeah.
After, like, all the recruiting stuff, I'm a flashback, but it's crazy. It's a crazy story how I ended up at Texas Tech. And so I told them, I was like, nah, I don't want to come there. Y'all already have a receiver. Y'all have a slot receiver. Y'all have this and that. And he's just like me. And so I'm go by. I'm still telling them no. My coach was like, Texas Tech's offer still on the board. They want you. I was like, no, no. I think I told them no like 8 times. I was like, no, no. And then one morning, I'm getting ready for my basketball tournament, and we're loading the bus at 6 o'clock in the morning. I kid you not. I kid you not. Coach Maynard was standing right there with the Texas Tech stuff on, and he was like, Jakeem, just take a visit. And after that, if you still don't want to come, then we won't bother you no more. And I was like, all right, coach, I'll take a visit. Took a visit. That was it. And I committed. But far on, like before then, it was a lot of small offers, like, you know, not big like Texas Tech and like that. It was more like Wyoming,
okay,
Tulsa, La Tech, like little schools like that. Like, and I didn't even know nothing about it. So I was like, man, those are the offers. I'm like somebody my size is always looked over. Like I'm like, I had a bunch of those small school offers, and I'm like, to me, that was big. I was just like, man, hey, this, and then Vanderbilt offered me late in the, because they had a coach change from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then they went over to Vanderbilt and they wanted me to come there. And I was just like, hey, man, look, like all these small schools, these are big offers to me. I don't care. I go anywhere that I feel like that I love. And so me, my mom, all of them went up to the visit, and they loved it. Small town, couldn't get in trouble out there. So I was just like, I'm all in.
So committed to Texas Tech, and then you get on campus and you redshirted?
Yes, sir.
Is there a reason why?
Honestly, I just felt like I wasn't prepared enough, like mentally and I'll say physically. Like routes were trash. I needed to grow more as, you know, a student and an athlete. Like I needed to be able to, you know, I got there and I'm doing speed outs and I'm falling on speed outs. I'm falling on ends, and I wasn't able to control my speed. I was just running
100 miles.
Steve,
an hour.
You know, exactly. Running 100 miles an hour, trying every to break, coach. And I'm my legs sliding from under me, and I couldn't. And I was just like no matter what, like, I won't be a good asset to y'all. At like right now, I need to grow. I need to build. I need to,
you know, it's,
I need to be able.
That's not, you don't generally see, you know, a young kid understand
that self-awareness.
That self-awareness.
Yeah, that's the first impact I got. Like, yeah. For you to, that was a decision you made on your own. I've never really heard of that before.
I just did a camp over the weekend. A buddy of mine was doing a camp, and I was just observing. I came to the camp, and man, I was actually, I'm gonna ask you this question. So it'll run with we getting off the on ramp,
merging into traffic.
Yeah, merging into
traffic. Turn the blink on.
So listen, man, I was at this camp, and I said, I ain't seen so many navels displayed from the wide receiver. They all had, I'm just calling what they are, crop. They had a whole bunch of crop tops on. Like, like, you know what I'm trying to say. The young kids, man, it's just all about the look.
No.
You know, you don't see.
And what else, like the hoop earrings?
Yeah, they had hoop earrings with the hoop earrings with the crosses on them.
Why, they got why they playing?
The cross on it.
Yeah, and they got the shirt cropped, and you see their navel, and then they getting bench press at the line.
I think a lot of these guys took you know, prom time quote to a different level. Not to how Primetime did it, where look good, feel good, play good. Where most of these people just out there just to look good, and the play is
trash.
Yeah, trash. Yep. And so It's not about that. You know, nowadays, what it's about? It's about this. IG, this and that. Oh, I look good on there. How many likes can I get? How can I do this?
I'm old school dude, right? And so the old school, you know, yeah, you want to feel like you showing out. Like for me, showing out, man, you got your gloves. You got your towel.
You got the Dion face mask. That was a big deal.
You got to have the DB.
You got the Dion face mask.
The DB face mask.
You the most swagged out person on the team if you got that face mask.
With a visor.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you know, I didn't have gloves for a long time, so I used to tape my fingers like Tim Brown.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Or back when the when you got the rib protector.
Oh yeah. So,
like that was the swag back then.
Unfortunately, I had to wear the rib protector a few times.
But it was cool. Like everybody
I got my rib
that.
Crack. You know, spat. But man, the what I look at him, I can't even imagine. I'm actually go to a high school football game this year, and I just want to see. Like, how the game has changed. It's not changing. And I'm not talking about, you know, it's getting soft. And I just, it's so much about appearance that is starting to, like, warp the opinion.
Yeah.
It's starting, I think, sometimes ball is getting a little soft. What you're playing right now. So, I'm not anymore. Don't play, but. What is your opinion since you are, you know, you drafted in 2016. I can't really relate to some of the young guys. I can't relate more to the young guys, and they are far and few, like old school.
Yeah. It's a big
football
gap.
Players.
There's a big gap.
Yeah. No, I can definitely understand what you're saying. Especially, like you said, they look more off their appearance than play. And some of them are just, like, playing crybabies. Like, it's hot. It's this, man. This is too long. Man, dude. Like, I like back in the day where it's like coaches was damn near military coaches. Right. Like, hey.
Dog cuss you.
You get, yeah. Dog, hey. I'm talking about cuss you out. If you can't take it, get off my field. That's right. Exactly how they was. It wasn't no, oh, you a five-star pick, you a five-star, you know, recruit. Oh, we gonna show you the world, give you this, give you that. Nah. You come in, you're gonna be just like a guy that was like me. I'm a three-star. You're gonna come in and have to work for everything just like that. Mm. And I think a lot of that is people going in there and thinking that, oh, I was a five-star recruit. I got, and now everything's gonna be handed to me. I think that's where people are getting lost at.
I think it's about that time. Just take a little breather.
Cut to it, cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on. Buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Your rookie year.
Yeah.
Your rookie year was last year?
I think it was second to last.
You got drafted in 16, right?
I got drafted in 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Second to the last. Was it? It was down there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Detail. Uh-oh.
I was basically I'm a rookie. Never done punt return a day in my life until I got to step foot in the NFL. I tell you, we had a preseason game versus the Giants, and Coach Rizzi threw me back there, and I was just like, and the ball punted straight to me. We viced the gunners.
Oh, they gave you space.
Gave me space. Oh, you know,
some wiggle room.
Gave me space. Yeah, wiggle room. Man, I let the ball bounce. I said, hell no.
I ain't touching that.
He said, I got it.
Nah. I know that. No.
I let the ball bounce. I pick it up. And, you know, I get, you know, get a little decent yards. I run back to the sideline, and I see Coach Rizzi. His face is red. I'm talking about red. And he's like, why didn't you catch the ball? This and that. I was like, I don't know, coach, like that. Like, I don't know. But deep down, I wanted to tell, like, man, coach, I was scared.
Oh, I'm saying it ain't so, bro.
Man, no, I'm raw. I'm straight up. Like, I was scared.
They just make them different in Dallas.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. Nah, they don't make, nah, they ain't.
You
like
never got,
that.
You never was scared at all.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Absolutely. I'm about to say, but I just got made fun of him.
That is a scary feeling being back there.
What?
Mine is not, I'm not as scared because I'm comfortable. I was always comfortable because I knew I was in control. So that's why I wasn't, I didn't
I'm
have.
Talking about the first time.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I was comfortable. Now, nervous, yes, not scared. Nervous.
I got you.
Absolutely. Because if you know, you got that return, you got that Vice guy. First of all, if you're playing Vice on punt return, your ass can't cover generally. So you ain't got really good feet at the line, right? So if you got four corners and one's a starter and the rest of them are backups, as a punt returner, you find out pretty quickly why they are backups.
Yep.
So you have control of it.
Yeah.
All right. So you get scared, then you go out and play the Giants.
Yeah, we was playing the Giants.
Okay.
And I caught the second one and took it 40. And so that started that was like, all right, I ain't gonna drop it. I'm gonna catch this one. So he ain't gotta hear his mouth when I get to the sideline. So I was like, all right, bet. And I take it 40. Team going crazy. And I'm like, all right. And so I hit like the slope. Like I'm like next game, muff the ball, doing this. And I'm like, man, like how I'm gonna get, like, I ain't never did this before. So like
yeah, they don't say that on your, they don't put that on the stats. They don't tell it, you know, they don't put that in the program for the fans that's booing you, that's cussing you out, talking about you ain't doing nothing for their fantasy team. They don't say, hey, first-time driver, right? Yeah. First-time catcher.
And so I'm just like, you know what? I stayed after practice. I stayed doing this. Ooh, I stayed doing that
work.
You know, yeah, before practice. I'm going out there before practice. Like, while people are just going walking to go get, you know, go to the stretch lines and before walkthroughs. I'm already in a full-blown sweat, getting back there and going, just, you know, what's the name? We get around to the game when we play y'all, you know, and you back there stretching. I ain't gonna lie, I was starstruck. One of my favorite players growing up. So I was like, God, I know that Steve Smith. I kept my cool, though. I was like, he was like, relax, catch the ball. That's exact two words he said to me. I was like, all right, bet. And so that game, I had, like, you know, decent returns. I'm talking about I'm running up, not calling fair catch, doing, like, catching the ball, like, in between traffic. I'm like, and coach looked at me. He was like, he was just, like, amazed. He was like, okay. Hmm. Okay, I see you. Like, I'm like,
Well, here's something. Catch the ball. Here's something's funny, though. So in that game, I dropped a touchdown pass back in the end zone.
Man, I don't even remember that.
I dropped a touchdown pass, an easy catch. RJ Stanford was on the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
DB, he played at University of Utah. That's my guy. He's actually he graduated from the police department up in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And so RJ was in Carolina with me, Utah guy, man, really good guy. Mm-hmm. Corner, struggle bus a little bit. That's my guy, though, but he's on the struggle bus. And I just remember that game. I was, you know, near the end. It was hot. It was muggy. And I remember, and it's funny, as you are struggling and thinking about how do I, you know, catching the ball in traffic and getting your routine. Man, that just shows you right there, all the even the old heads, we all have our days where you have to focus. Yep. I remember I dropped a pass, it's a touchdown, and we end up running a motion. I end up catching a touchdown, but coming back. But I missed some passes in that game. And so it's funny as you got, you know, under the 6 feet crew. You got one guy that's rising up to the top, and then one guy who's eventually checking out. And so that just kind of shows you, you never know what's going on. And so just that nervousness or that indecisiveness that you have upon yourself, bro, you didn't catch and improve that day because you met me. You did that because of all the work you put in before that. So you got to remember this, right? And we go back biblically. Go back biblically, you are soil. But however, in that soil, you have to have the right instruments. And the right instruments is you allow God to put the right people in your life. And by putting those right people in your life, you know what they're going to do? They're going to till that soil. They're going to turn it up, get all the nutrients, get all the stuff that's supposed to be out of it. And then God will put and direct some people like Koshan Jeffries where they can drop those seeds in there. And then, whether you believe or not, Adam Gase, he has that line. And then Coach Flores and all the other people come back and they water it. And eventually, as it's tilled, seeded, turned over, and dealt with, it now starts to bear not fruits, but fruit. And the only way it's going to bear good fruit is if it's got to have deep roots. And that deep root was established not because you met me or you watched some video or somebody else. Bro, it's because of the hard work you put in. You just didn't realize it. Because your version of hard work growing up in Dallas was okay. But your hard work now as a professional requires everyday maintenance. Not maintenance of stretching, but maintenance of the mental, the physical, and then most important, your heart. If you have those things that keep doing it, man, you will be that wide receiver you want to be. But you got to have a goal. And I would tell you this, in changing up and wanting to be that impactful wide receiver that you can be, start setting some goals. And every goal you have, put three people's name to those goals. Three people. Three people to that name, and you'll start to see how it changes and how you look at those goals. Then they just don't become abstract ideas. You start to establish those can be accomplished because who you're doing it for. All right, let's go to D3 now.
Let's finish out. So last two questions. So, Jakeem, what are you most grateful to football for?
Being able to get the opportunity to move moms and brothers out of the hood into a better situation. Wow. And so that they don't have to, you know, I'm able to help mama if she, you know, she needed. You know, I'm able to help my brothers if they need it. You know, that's what I'm most grateful for. I was able, I've somewhat accomplished what I needed to do is get my mama and my brothers out of the hood. Mm. And so that is what I'm most grateful for. And not only for, you know, my brothers and my mom, but as for my own family, being able to take care of my own family and being able to, you know, put money aside for my kids, you know, trust and being able to do that, you know, because in Black communities, we, you know, there's no trust trust for us. We got to go get it.
The financial literacy.
Exactly. And so being able to do that and, you know, make sure that my kids don't have to want, but need anything that, you know, and so that's what I'm most thankful for.
What does it mean to you right now to be a father? If you know what it's like not to have a daddy, so you know what it means to be a daddy. And before you answer, bro, there were times I would get upset and be angry putting my kids down because I know what it's like as a father to kiss my boys goodnight and know that daddy will be up when you get up. And I would go to, I would actually go downstairs upset because I know what I missed with my dad. And I know I didn't, what I did not get.
To me, I basically, with my father not being there and my mom having to play two roles, built up so much anger, but also showed me all the right things not to do as a father, which is the most thing is be absent. Mm. And so kids don't want anything but time. And that's all I do is give my baby's time, my son time, my twin girl's time. Mm. And knowing that it's growing up, man, I used to be pissed off when I see my boys and they pops coming to pick them up from practice. And I know that, you know, any type of, you know, sports that, you know, my son has that he loves to play, even with him, you know, being, you know, autistic, you know, I'm there. I'm showing him that daddy's here for you. Mm. No matter what, daddy never gonna never leave you. Daddy will do anything for you. Daddy gonna be here no matter what. I'm not gonna tell you I'm gonna be here and not be here. Mm. So what I try to do is give my kids the absolute world and teach them everything that my father didn't get a chance to teach me. Mm. Just absolutely just be there for them. Just, man, it's just hard to put a lot of things into word and just to like show, like, because it's times where, you know, I forgave my dad. Me and my dad has, you know, an okay relationship right now. And and sometimes bringing my pops around, you know, my kids and watching him play with my kids pisses me off to the max. Because I'm like, dog, you got this in you. Like, you have this in you. Why didn't you do it, you know, 20 years back then? Like, and I tell him that. I'd sit there and I'm raw. I'm like, yo, pops, like it hurts to see you do this with my kids. And this is all I asked for you as a kid. Like, that hurts to the core. Like, don't get me wrong. I love you playing with, you know, my kids and being there for them. And it took time for me to even allow him to be around my kids, because what happens when they get attached to him, right, and he tells them the same thing he told me, hey, I'm going to come by and I'm going to see y'all, and never show. Man, and all of those things that he did when I was a little kid, I said, that's one thing I took. I was like, that was one word. That was one rule. Don't be like my dad. And that's being absent, so making giving broken promises, the whole nine, and just not teaching me how to be a man. So I had to go out there and find another father figure and the coach that I was, you know, in high school. And I told myself, I wouldn't do my kids like that, or I will not allow them to, you know, to feel like dad is absent from their life.
Yeah, it is a tough thing, but I think one of the things that I can help you with or tell you is the unfortunate part. Grandpa now gets a hall pass.
Yep.
Because daddy's here. So grandpa isn't required to show up every day. Dad is. Grandpa has other things going on. But dad doesn't. So whatever areas that he falls short, one, you already know he's going to fall short. So you're already prepared, bro. You're already stepping in. You're already changing that culture. You're changing that lineage. Just keep changing. Don't focus and concern yourself on what grandpa maybe isn't doing, because here's the advantage you have. Grandpa old, grandpa forget. Give grandpa grace, man. Make the excuse for grandpa. Cause just like a just like you know that DB, just like you know that secondary, just like you know where your PP is going to be, or you know where your right guard on kickoff return is going to be. But you also know you have to account for the unforeseen things, and unforeseen things are sometimes, just like Grandpa, some guy's going to miss a block. But as long as you do your job and you do it well, you can make the wrong job for someone else, make them look right by getting that, you know, getting that 88-yard touchdown, that 47-yard return, even though because the lesser man would have got tackled, wouldn't have been able to recognize and see. So give him some grace. You are used to carrying the burden. Continue to keep carrying the burden. Except the difference is your kids aren't going to be heartbroken.
Yep.
Man, we appreciate your time, brother. Yeah. It's been awesome. Again, I appreciate your patience. I appreciate also the way you play, man. You play it the right way. But one way we would not invite you back over, we will wipe clean our Instagram and all of our social media with you on there. If we catch you on Sunday with that navel out, we gonna have.
Oh no, nah, you ain't gotta worry about that.
Okay, all right, just making sure.
You ain't gotta worry about that.
Okay,
trust me.
Oh man.
Nah. All right. Well, appreciate you, brother.
Hey, we appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Nah, I appreciate y'all, man.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent, and most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut To It. Cut To It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut To It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut To It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut To It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton. You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. 'Cause you know it's on. It's on.